Thank you guys for your display of love. I was telling a few folks that it's like old home week, but it's more than that. You realize that even though you've been apart, for some reason you really haven't been apart. You've all been part of the same kingdom and life, even though we've been in different locations. But this morning I was reading the scripture, and I decided to read it in the Passion Translation. And as I read it, I thought, well, this will be really appropriate for this morning. This is Psalm 24, 7 through 10. And it says, "So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you ageless doors of destiny. Welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through you." He's about to come through you. The doors aren't somewhere out there. You're going to open them up this morning because you are the doors. We are the gateway for the presence of the Lord. When we come here, he comes with us. Where we are, there he is. And so we have brought him in great number today. So I'm expecting the King of Glory to do amazing things. You ask, who is this King of Glory? The Lord, armed and ready for battle. The Mighty One, invincible in every way. So wake up. We just talked about that last week, didn't we? Wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide, you ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes, the King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord of victory, armed and ready for battle. The Mighty One, the invincible commander of heaven's host. Yes, he is the King of Glory. And he is our King of Glory. And we are his. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for every life that's here. Every life, Lord, that has been part of our life. Lord, I pray that you would do above and beyond all we could ask or think today. All we could imagine, Lord, by allowing us to experience you in a new dimension, a new realm of your glory, Lord. And we just ask right now that you would just allow us to be sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, for whatever you want to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. If you guys want to stand up, join in the sound of heaven this morning. That's rejoicing, that's celebrating the finished work of Jesus, celebrating the cross, the reason that we can even be here all together today. If you guys want to just lift your hands with us this morning. I found some of the hardest times ever. All I need to do is I just lift my hands and I just say, hallelujah. And we're going to raise a hallelujah together. That's never been raised before. We have a brand new opportunity today to worship the King and celebrate him. And I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. And I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody, and I raise a hallelujah, and heaven comes to fight for me.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. In the presence of my enemies, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Thank you, Jesus.
Walking around these walls. The chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
See your living hope this morning. Just lift up a shout of praise for the living hope, for Jesus Christ, for the one. You know, his first followers, they weren't called Christians, they were called followers of the way. So let's just dedicate our hearts again this morning to be followers of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it was a dedicated invitation to family that morning when Jesus said, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And the end result is you get to be face to face with your Father. And I feel like Jesus is just inviting us again this morning. He's inviting us to come face to face with our Father. He's not a distant Father. He's not an absent Father. He's an ever-present, ever-loving, ever-good, ever-gracious Father. And he's saying, come face-to-face with me this morning. So I want to sing that verse again. And I just want you to enter into a place where you can be face-to-face with the Father. Because Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' gift, it was more than enough. It's not about sin. It's not about how bad of a person you are. It's about the reason that God made you. He made you to be a light. So let's sing that. How great.
How great a chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name. The darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows. mercy. What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. This salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, He's the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. This salvation.
Choose you because you first chose us. We get to love you because you first loved us. In the midst of an atmosphere of worship, I just want to invite you guys to celebrate Mike and Gaylene Lindell this morning. I know that my life is forever better because of their friendship, because of their leadership. When I didn't know Jesus and I was an absolute mess, they just wanted to be my friend. There was not ulterior motives to the relationship. And that is such an example of our God. That is such an example of who Jesus is. Because like 1 John 4 says, we love him because he first loved us. And I'm so thankful for you, Mike and Gay. I'm really incredibly thankful. My family for generations has benefited. And I think everyone in here can attest to that same fact. And it's not ungodly in the middle of worship to celebrate you guys. I think it's exactly what God would do. Because when Jesus shows up on the scene, he's not worried about other people taking his glory. He's giving his glory away. And I see everyone's faces this morning, and everyone's shining brightly because there's one who shone over us, and there's a reflection in every person, and it looks different, and sometimes it looks crazy and we don't understand it. And that doesn't mean it's not Jesus, because that's exactly who Jesus is. And Father God, we just love you. Just lay bare our hearts this morning as we worship and celebrate you. It's not about the work that you did, but it's because of the work that you did that we get to stand face to face in loving celebration of you.
You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. You come back with a head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory.
My faith and hope again, and all I did was
moment when I thought I lost me. Oh my. Been there, done that. Hardest season of my life. But he knew. Wow. When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. He never leaves. Ever, ever. Again, going back to that, he never fails. Picked up all my pieces. Put me back together. Defender. Great defender. Robin, I just got back from a conference for foster and adoption families, and they gave everybody a white flag on a stick. And it was awesome, because right at the beginning, everybody was kind of in that same boat of, you know, we're doing hard things. And so every time somebody would say something that would resonate with us, we would throw up our flag. Yep, that's me. That's me. And then the other part of it was, oh, I surrender. I give up, Lord. It's not my way. It's not my will. It's only you. My defender. My hero. My Savior. My God. Can you just raise your hands so while we sing that hallelujah again? I surrender, God. I give up. You can have it all. Father, it's all about you, not about me. But thank you, God, for picking up my pieces when I mess up. Because you're always there, always faithful, always willing to love me, even in my mess. Oh, God, you're so great.
This mountain.
into the midst of the sea.
It is well.
seated. Thank you, guys. Wow. Talk about bringing back memories. Great memories. Reminds you of the goodness of God. Looks like it's already on.
Hmm?
Looks like it's already on.
It's on.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Could you sit here and just enjoy the presence of the Lord with all of you? Don't need to necessarily say a word. Thank you, Jesus. It is well with my soul. I remember when you sang that, you were going through a tough time. And you just knew that it was all going to work out. And, you know, even when it doesn't all work out, when you get his point of view, it just seems to all work out. Praise the Lord. Well, for those of you who haven't joined us for a while, majority, Gay and I have been sharing for a couple years together, and keeps me sane, and people understand what's going on in the service, so it's really good. And last week, Tim, if you would put it up on the screen. Last week it's not there yet. We put up this message, Divine Detour. We never got to it. We did have a divine detour. And that's kind of what's happened today, obviously, because it's not our normal Sunday. But it's what's right for today. Praise the Lord. Do you want to say anything?
Not yet.
Not yet, huh? Save the best for last. Well, 2 weeks ago now, I was on a Saturday just kind of doing some work, and I don't know if I was listening to somebody, and they had mentioned Paul. And when I heard, you know, them, it wasn't about this particular passage, it was just about him when he was talking to, I think it was King Agrippa. And I just thought of Paul, how someone that was going so much one way at one point had a divine detour. And he would never have his life the same. It'd never be the same for him. And I think we can all relate to that in some way. Maybe we didn't actually all have a light from heaven knock us down, but in a way, as that song says, the light penetrated our darkness. The light of God made it so that we could finally see. And it's interesting, Paul's situation, the light of God made it so that he was blind, and he needed to be blind so he could see. So let's take a look at Paul here, this individual that seems to be the enemy of the church. He was public enemy number one of the church. Acts, it's not working. Oh, there it is. Hello. Oh, we didn't plug it in. I need you, Tim. Can you click on the next slide? I forgot to put in the cord today. So messed up today. My normalcy got broke. I thought about it a couple times. Acts 7, 54 through 60. Do you want to go ahead and read it?
Sure. I do want to preface by saying this was the very first Bible passage I ever learned about in church, was this Bible passage that we're getting ready to study. In fact, because I loved it so much, that's where our first son got his name, Stephen, though it's not spelled the same way.
But this verse just was so powerful to me and spoke so much to me as a person that hadn't known God, and then I did, that someone could actually be this unconditional. And so we're starting in verse 54. It says, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And when they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said these things, he fell asleep."
So here we have Paul introduced in the Bible the very first time. And he's not Paul, he's Saul. And it's interesting because the dynamic of having the name Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. And Saul was someone who was pretty zealous for God, but he was zealous in his own ways. And that seems to be what Saul was like. He was zealous for God, but he was zealous in his own belief system, in his own ways. So going back up to verse 57. Sorry, I normally can do this. Thank you, son. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And they cast him, then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And it says young man, but he was probably in his 30s at least.
That's young.
That's young, yeah. I still think 59 coming this week is young. So yeah, amen. 30 is like a kid, a baby. But yeah, he was a young man. And the point being is that he was the witness of this stoning. He was approving of it. He was watching everybody's garments so that, you know, nothing would happen to him while they killed Stephen, a person full of righteousness, a person full of light and communicating the truth. And because of these individuals, including Saul, they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear what was right. They didn't want to hear what was the truth. They wanted to believe what they wanted to believe. And this is something that I think we all need to be challenged with in the church, is that we don't get to the place where truth is staring us in the face. And we continue just to believe what we believe without letting our hearts receive the truth.
You need to say that again.
We need to, as the body of Christ, as the people of God, we need to be in a place where we can still receive truth and not be so hard-hearted that we close down what God's doing right now. Because see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But to each one of us, he's ever changing. The God that I knew when I first gave my heart to the Lord, the light that I was exposed to is not the same amount of light that I walk in now.
Right.
And that's only because I allowed that light into my life. And we don't want to be ones that stone, whether it be physical or just with our hearts, stone someone else that's bringing the truth. So as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 8, 1 through 3.
And Saul approved of his execution. It's almost like a stamp of approval. That's when you read that. I mean, there's just nothing more to say. Saul approved of it. Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentations over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men, women, and committed them to prison.
So Saul approved of his execution. We see that by allowing them to put their clothes at his feet. And he then became the number one persecutor of the church. And all of Jerusalem made it so that the church was scattered. So what the enemy was meaning for evil here, God turned to good, because the church finally started going out and being spread out throughout all the regions. Because Jesus told them to go through all the regions, but they were pretty happy staying in their Jerusalem spot. And because of the persecution which Saul brought, so he helped spread the church even before he knew Christ.
Right.
So he was already being an apostle before he was being an apostle. But if we look at this, he was basically ready to ravage and destroy and stop this move completely. And the way, as Glenn said earlier, was not going to continue to be spread. It was going to end, because this was ruining God as far as he was concerned. This was a lie. This was not the truth. And so he basically, if we go to the next one. Hey, Tim, can you make sure you follow Acts 9:1?
Thank you.
Thank you, son. Next slide. Sorry. One more.
Thank you.
Acts 9, 1 through 22. This is going to be a long one. So why don't we just go ahead and take it verse by verse? Let's do that.
But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that he, if he found any belonging to the way, which Glenn spoke about before, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem.
So here's Saul. He's basically now committed to purging this mark that's coming against the Jewish faith. And he's not only putting people in prison in Jerusalem, now he wants to go to Damascus. And he's now asking for letters, and he says, I want to go and I want to bring them back here so we can put these people in prison and we can stop this thing. So he has a plan. He has a direction that he's going in. He is not going to be stopped. He now has the approval of all the religious leaders behind him. So he's loaded for bear, okay? Go ahead.
Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, as Mike likes to say, as the light hit him and struck him and he fell down, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.
I want us to get this, because this is important. This is really important. And you know, we'll sing songs. You know, you are my defender. You're fighting for me. And we a lot of times can be disconnected from the fact of how God looks at us. We can be for whatever reason, mostly our own condition, mostly our own errors that we walk in, inadequacies. We tend to look at ourselves as not as connected with God as we are. But if you look here, a light suddenly came from heaven. It shone all around him. All the men that were with him, you know, saw this light. Or I guess they didn't see the light, but they heard this voice. And he heard, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting this church? Why are you persecuting these people? No, Jesus says, you're persecuting me. You're messing with me. So just keep in mind, like these songs said that we sung, when we're getting messed with by the enemy, it's not us he's messing with. It's God.
The God in us, yes.
It's God in us. And if we can rest in the fact that God knows that we're being messed with, He'll take care of the enemy that's coming after us. He'll take care of the ones that want to take us out. We don't need to defend ourselves. He is our defender. What a great song. Mm-hmm. Through it all, mm-hmm. we can keep our eyes on him, and he will make it so it can be well with our soul. Yeah, we go through hell. We go through crisis. We go through things that we did not plan on. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because if we can rest in the fact that everything that's being done to us is being done to Him, then that means He's going to set it right. To the place where Joseph could say, you know what, you guys, my brothers here, you meant this all for evil. Well, God meant it for good.
Exactly. Yeah.
So literally what goes, the very thing that goes against us, in case in point, honey, you're in my life because of that. What was meant to destroy my life by tearing up my marriage and taking away a relationship that was very dear to me, God restored something even greater. As I said, you are my new plan A. It's the truth.
What is so amazing about this, I'm not going to get all gooey, but what's amazing about this to me is that, if we're not being messed with, we think that we're good, but really we're not good. Because the enemy, if the enemy's messing with you, that's because you're a threat to him. If you're not being messed with, then you need to wonder, where am I really at? You know what I'm saying? And I did hear someone say that one time, that, wow, if life is going on and things are going great and you're like wondering, you know, oh man, this is easy. It's like, whoop, you better wonder, where are you or whose camp are you sleeping in? So, you know, it's hard to embrace trials. It's hard to embrace tribulation. It's hard to embrace when things are hard. But knowing that God is the one that will defend us, knowing that God is the one that when someone speaks ill, He will speak good.
Yeah.
When someone means wrong, He means right. He is complete opposite of what the enemy means for us. So understanding that doesn't mean that we're not going to have good times in God. We are. We're going to see God return the years the locust is eaten. We are going to see the good, the evil turning to good. We're going to see those things. But the enemy does not want us to win. And as the time draws nearer and closer, it's going to get to be harder and harder and harder. And don't look at that as a bad thing. Look at that as, well, Lord, you just have more work to do through me. Get her done, you know?
So. Amen. Okay, next verse. Go ahead. Now he's getting his directions.
Okay, so he says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus.
Stop. So I like little phrases in the word that teach divine truths. Uh-huh. And though his eyes were open, he saw nothing. And we can get to this place in our lives as Christians where we have open eyes. We think that we're seeing, but we're not seeing because we're still trying to see with our natural eyes. We're still trying to see things through our reason perspective, mm-hmm. instead of by the Spirit, instead of knowing the mind of Christ and allowing Him to tell us, to communicate the truth about a situation to us. To communicate to us reality, in other words. Because truth is reality. And even though there's times that I see things a certain way, and I'll react to them, just because, you know, I'm human, but it takes me a while, and I'll get the idea, say, no, 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 wait a minute. I'm seeing something, but this is not the truth. Because the truth is Christ.
Right.
He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. He is the peace. He is my joy, my love. He is everything there. And so all of this is an illusion. It's an illusion. It's an illusion that either I can embrace and then fall into the trap of the illusion, or I can fall into the reality and the truth that I am loved. Mm-hmm. And that even though my eyes may be open and seeing something, I'm actually not seeing the reality of what's going on, because I'm listening to my heart and I'm seeing the reality of Christ. So I'm not seeing the reality around me, which is the illusion. I'm seeing the reality of the truth of what He's putting in my heart. Does that make sense? So if you find yourself in a place where your eyes are open and you're seeing things, whether it be circumstances, situations, things that people have done to you, things that you have done, and you think that just because that normally has a certain outcome,
it doesn't have to.
Yeah, we can reap what we sow. But God can also do divine detours, even with things that we deserve. Because He's a good and loving God.
And sometimes those detours don't look so positive. They don't. Divorce does not look positive. Death does not look positive. Pain and people speaking ill about you, or broken relationship, or broken hearts, that doesn't seem so positive. But are we allowing God to move in that midst of that? Or are we waiting and biding our time until it's done and we've grinned and we've bared it as long as we could, finally we're through it, and then we move on? Did we really learn what He put us there to learn? And how many times have I said, if you didn't learn it this time, the next time is going to be a little harder, and God's going to be a little bit more persistent about you learning that one particular truth that you should have learned before. He will let it come around again. He's going to let a situation come around again. He's going to let a thing come around again so you can say, okay, wait a minute. Why am I still battling this? Why am I still struggling with this? Why am I still hurting when someone does this, or when someone says that, or when, you know, this happens? Why is that still happening? And I've got to the point where I'm saying, God, what do you want me to learn in this? I'm not walking to this point and stopping and not have you know what's going on. You know, what is it you want me to learn in this situation? And when I can be honest with myself and honest with God and say to Him, I really want to change from this. I don't want to do this just to say I did it. I don't want to go there just to say I did. I want to be able to get through it because the Lord wanted to strengthen me. He wanted me to move forward in it. He didn't want me to sit and be complacent in it. And we are too complacent today in the church. We are too complacent in our lives. We have got a mighty, mighty God. And is your life reflecting that? Or not? Does your life reflect that you serve a mighty God? Although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. God, I want to see something. I want to see what you want me to see. I want to know what you want me to know. I don't want to go through this again. I want to know why you have this in my path and where you have me going from here. Don't let it be in vain. Don't let it be for nothing. Don't let this trial period, however long that is. I mean, some people have lived a trial for years. It's been terrible. Because they just did not know how to see the goodness of God and see that God was involved the whole time. The whole time.
Yeah, I think trials can be... because I've seen it before. I've seen it where people have been in trials and they're suffering as if they're in a trial. And yet the Lord comes in and gives them a revelation that He's with them, walking with them. And the same trial that they were in now becomes stepping stones mm-hmm. to the next place in their journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it becomes the next pathway. Instead of being the lot that I'm in, it ends up becoming the door that was opened. And for 3 days, he was without sight. This is verse 9. And neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord, ready to and willing to go. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. He's probably listening to that part for a moment. Sorry, what's going on? Verse 12. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, very long pause. Lord, I've heard many, many stories. I've heard about this. Heard about this guy that you're talking about right now. Says this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And the word must have been out that he was on his way. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. So Ananias is getting a divine detour. He's in his normal prayer time, and all of a sudden he's given a mission. Go to public enemy number one of the church and pray for him. Lord, exactly. What is it that God has asked of you that goes beyond your comfort zone, right? It may just be to love somebody across the street, or somebody at work, or across the aisle, or it could be somebody in your own house. It could be that there's something that's been put on your heart that you need to respond to, because you know it's God speaking to you. Now, if it's not the Lord speaking to you, that's another thing. But if it's God speaking to you and you know it's Him and He's asking you to do something that may even put you in a difficult spot. Ananias is like, oh my goodness, what if he's still mad? What if he's still got, you know, he didn't know exactly how he was going to respond. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. That's rough, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So we know that Ananias departs. Verse 17, enters the house, laying hands on him. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. Verse 19, and taking food, he was strengthened for some days. He was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. So Saul's mission was to get rid of the church. His divine detour made him the proclaimer of Jesus Christ as the head of the church. You know, we can all here relate, I think, to Saul and Ananias in some ways. God has spoken to us. God has encountered us. But, you know, the mission is, what are people seeing? That's really the key. I mean, it's great to have an encounter. It's great to listen and respond to the Lord. But let's keep marching on. You know, let's keep being who we're called to be, whether it be in different locations or the same location. Let's be love, because that's really what it's all about. Paul didn't know what kind of words to describe, but Paul was loved. Paul was loved out of darkness in that place. I always looked at it like God was getting him, you know, he was paying him back for, you know, I had all these things. But no, Jesus was loving on Saul. He was giving him a new life. He was giving him a new chance. Yeah, he had to suffer many things. But Paul realized that through those sufferings, greatness came. Paul realized that through those sufferings, he was becoming more and more like Jesus. He didn't regret those sufferings, even though they were difficult. I mean, being stoned and left for dead, that's pretty bad. But he was realizing that he was becoming more like Christ. Mm-hmm. And if we can realize that, if we can let love penetrate our hearts mm-hmm. to the place where Jesus is seen in us. And when I say Jesus, I'm saying love. Mm-hmm. You know, unconditional love. Love that looks beyond people's failures and people's mistakes and people's bad decisions. Love that says, you know what? God's got something for you. He can take you out of this place of the pit right now, and he can bring you into sitting next to Pharaoh tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. He can do that. Mm-hmm. Love can do that.
Mm-hmm. It's really funny because I used to be Saul, and then I feel as if I am Ananias. Even though God's speaking to me, sometimes I question him. But really, the goal needs to be, I need to be more like Stephen. God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Don't hold it against them. You know, Stephen had the attitude of Christ. He's almost verbatim speaking the same words Christ spoke on the cross. He's saying, you know, take me, Lord. And don't hold it against them. And I need to be like that. I know I do. I want to be like that. And I tend to lean more toward Ananias Saul side than I do the Ananias and Stephen side. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I know I'm in that middle point, but I want to lean more toward the Stephen side than I do the Saul Paul side. I want to lean. I just want to be everything God wants me to be. That's what I want. And I know in that I will be the Stephen God's called me to be, who he wants me to be.
Amen. But
you guys, I'm just going to say again, it's a choice. We have a choice in all of this. He is such a lover of us that he gives us free will.
100%.
He is such a lover of our heart. He allows us free will. And it's our decision. And I will tell you, I've never regretted saying yes. Not one time. And I've been through some stuff, but I've never one time regretted saying yes. Would I go back? No way. I would not go back. But I have never regretted what God's had me go through, because I'm more like him than I used to be.
Yeah.
And that's my goal, is to be more like him every day.
And that's his goal, for you to be more like him every day. So, we do it a little different here. If the Lord's been like burning something in your heart this morning as we've been sharing, I know it's a little late, but like, when's this going to happen again, right? So it's like pretty special. I want you to either, you know, raise your hand or come on up, because it's like, I know that we're not the only ones here with the message. You know, I'm sure as we were sharing, something popped in your head. And if not, sometimes nobody has anything. But when people share, usually it's because others need to hear the same thing. I think that you have something, Eric. Yeah, that's what I keep feeling. Do you? You're on the edge of your seat, so maybe that's where you just like to sit. I don't know.
Are you thinking more like what burning in your heart during your message? I just want to be...
Oh, whatever you have.
I'll just say it
could have been something from worship. But
whatever, yeah.
The thing that's on my heart is hearing this, being here today. You know, I think most everybody knows me, but maybe not all of you. But this was my home, and this is where I got married. This is where my kids, most of them, got dedicated. And I look at you guys and I hear you guys speaking this message, and you guys are sharing your own testimony, but I just think like the legacy that you guys have left and are continuing to leave is in this room. And I think if we can get anything from today is this like how we leave our legacy, what we're doing right now, to release our legacy, to begin our legacy, to be thinking about our legacy, is so vital. And so it's like Glenn was saying earlier during worship, like how you guys have, we've touched everyone's life in here. Like, that's why we're here, right? And God, obviously. But God, through you, has touched our life. And so, you know, hearing this Saul to Paul story, like, I mean, right here was my Saul to Paul moment right here. Like, in this very spot, Saul to Paul moment right here. And I think, you know, that is something that we can, if we can take from, like, what is our legacy? Like, how are we creating, you know, I mean, a Mike and Gay legacy in our own lives? Like, what is my legacy that I'm leaving? Yeah.
Thank you, bro. Amen. That's good. Anyone else? Anyone? I know we got like preachers here, so.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's all good. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to let you know that I really feel the love today from all of you, and I know Gabe does too. And wish it could be every week, you know, because it's just wonderful seeing you all. But like I said, when everybody gathered here, it is even though we've been apart, it's almost like we haven't, and that's divine. I mean, that is supernatural that God allows us to do that. And yeah, I mean, we have different, you know, journeys that we're all on, but the thing is that we're all heading for the same place, even though we're all in different journeys. And the amazing part is that the place already somehow, some way resides in each one of us. And this journey that we're on is discovering how much we already know him, even though we don't. So let's just release right now a moment in our hearts to just be ready to be exposed to a new level of his truth. Lord, I just come before you right now, Lord, as a representative for all of us. And Lord, as Eric said, Lord, what legacy can we leave, Lord? Well, you are our legacy. You are the reason that anything can happen in and through us, Lord. So we just ask right now that if there's areas of us, Lord, that have become darkened and cloudy or just muddled, Lord, we pray that you would shine light into that area. And Lord, if there's light that we need, Lord, to see further down the road, Lord, we just ask that you would release it right now so that we could see a glimpse, Lord, and attach our hope, Lord, and then attach faith to that, Lord, and then see it materialize and become reality. Lord, you are our all in all. And we don't want to go any further on this journey without you. We don't want to leave you behind. We don't want to be left behind what you're doing, Lord. We want to be in sync with you, Holy Spirit. So we do. We surrender all. And it is well with us, Lord. It's well with us, Lord, because you are the one that's watching over us, Lord, like you watch over the sparrow. You're the one that knows every intricate detail about our lives, Lord, more than we even know about ourselves. And when we're lost, Lord, when we can't find our way, Lord, you're the one that's just waiting to take our hand and lead us into the next journey, the next step in our journey. I just bless everyone here today. I just ask you, Lord, to continue to let who you have created them to be manifest. Yes. That whatever the enemy means and tries to do evil in their lives, Lord, that you will make it so that it backfires and that they become more like Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the
thank
Lord.
Thank you for today.
What's that?
I said thank you for today.
Yes, thank you. And Nettie, thank you for putting this together. I know that you were the instigator behind it. What'd you do? Just post to do a post on Facebook? Pretty good.
Just strawberries for us to
Who did?
My God.
Oh, my God. We have chocolate covered strawberries
from Mr. Mike Gobb over there.
Oh, my goodness.
Sweet.
That, what's that? Yeah. Oh, no calorie kind. Okay, awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, you guys love on each other, and this was awesome.